everywhere.
What did you say? What do I think of what?
Punishments for worldly vices and indulgence in them.
Punishment from who, sir?
I guess either God or Satan. So who would be doing the punishing, in your opinion?
You mean in eternity?
Yeah.
Well, God's going to separate his sheep from the goats. The sheep are those that are born again by that gospel I preached to you. The goats are the people of the world, false converts, people that believe. Jesus said in Matthew 7, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, I did this in your name. I did this. I did this. I went to church every Sunday. I fed some homeless people. We did this. We casted out some devils. Lord, Lord. And he goes, I never knew you. You're a worker of iniquity. Part time they were doing godly things. The rest of the time they were keeping sin. Jesus said, you're not mine. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. So God is going to do the punishing. Jesus said there's going to be a weeping and a gnashing of teeth. So did I answer your question rightly? In eternity, if you're not of Christ for your sin, worldliness, whatever, you're going to be punished. And the real punishment is this, ready? It's not like God keep putting fire on you. Don't think of the Father like that. He created hell for Satan and his angels.
Okay. And you just, because you weren't
following. because you desired to rebel, or I desired to rebel like Satan, God says, I'll put you in the same place. So it was created for Satan, not for humans. Okay? And in fact, the Bible says, I think this is pretty easy, amazing. The Bible talks about how angels rejoice and marvel when a man or a woman repents and comes to God. It talks about all of heaven rejoices. Do you know why that is?
Why?
I think this is pretty cool. Because angels that are serving God, not the fallen angels, the fallen angels are probably like, oh, we had them. They repented and went back. The true angels, they don't know what it's like to ever be lost and repent and be found. All they've ever known is God. And so that's like just like an awe to them. They're just looking at it going, how can this be? Because see, man is above the angels. We're created in God's image. Angels weren't created in man's image or in God's image. Angels were created by God. Man is created in his image. So we're actually above angels, and the angels are in awe. So God doesn't punish us with fire. He puts us in a place where people decide to go. People say, no, I don't want you. I don't want to serve you. I don't want to lift up Christ. I don't want to obey you. Okay. I have a place for people like that. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
So that's the punishment. The punishment is really this. Ready? Eternal separation from God.
Okay.
That's really the punishment. He's light. Darkness and suffering. He's light and joy and bliss. Darkness and suffering.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think hell is? Do you ascribe to like fire and brimstone?
Or hell is absolutely. If it isn't, Jesus is a liar. Because go read the Gospels. Jesus talked about hell more than, excuse me, he described hell more than heaven. Think about that. So he talked about heaven. He talked about hell. Not one time that I know of did Jesus say, oh, heaven is going to be so awesome. There's going to be this, and there's going to be that. You'll be floating around doing this, and you got to be there. It's going to be the... Never does that. Hell, he gives us a multitude of parables about a man burning in hell, and he's like, please, just touch my tongue with some water. I'm burning in this place. And then the guy says, go, tell my brothers not to come to this place. It's a terrible place. And he says, send somebody to them to warn them. And I love what Abraham says to him. Abraham says, they have Moses, they have the prophets, they have the word of God. Ready? If they won't listen to the word of God, even someone coming back from the dead, they won't listen to. Now, what that tells me is, you're either going to believe everything I've preached to you today from the word of God, you're going to go home and scour, you're going to read it, or if I was to raise somebody from the dead right in the street, you'd go, hey, wow, that was pretty cool. I can't do that. Oh, whatever. You'd go down the street and live your own life. That ain't going to make a difference. You're either going to seek God or you're not. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, definitely believe that hell is an eternal place. Your soul's eternal. Jesus said there'll be weeping of gnashing teeth for eternity. So it will be a place of suffering.
Wouldn't, if Jesus was talking so much about hell but not so much about heaven, wouldn't that just be kind of just fear-mongering?
No, actually it's loving because he's warning you.
Okay.
He's warning you. He loves you so much, he's warning you. Because if you're going to serve him, heaven's a given. He wants you to go there. If you're on the borderline, he wants you to know the great cost. And Jesus talked a lot about money because people love money so much and they live for it. So he warned about that. He warned about hell. Jesus talked a lot about the flesh. Cut it off, rip it out, pluck it out, get rid of it. So Jesus, see, I'm glad you caught that. Everybody in the culture kind of, Jesus is, they got this wrong image. Long-haired, feminized, soft guy that walks around going, "Love, I love you. Love, just love."
A 70s hippie, essentially.
Yeah. This movie out, I have a testing of it, Jesus Revolution. It's garbage. Look up my testing on it. In fact, if you Google Jesus Revolution movie exposed, my testing comes right out. But I've been doing this for years and we're out there. That is garbage. The real Jesus was a bold preacher of righteousness. He told the Pharisees, "You hypocrites, hypocrites, hypocrites," in Matthew 23 about 7 or 8 times, okay? And so he was a bold man of God, and he warned about hell. He showed the path. He was bold. He rebuked the false teachers day and night because he wanted them to turn and to stop deceiving people. So the image of Jesus that the culture and the church system has is a total false Jesus. Feminized Jesus and easy believe Jesus, and he just loves everybody no matter what. That's not true. The Bible, I have articles on this. The Bible actually teaches this. God only used love for evangelism in like 2 verses in the entire New Testament.
Really?
John 3:16, so God so loved the world, okay? And then there's another one in Titus where it talks about, there's another one that says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Out of the hundreds of times the word love is used in the Bible, only 2 times is it used for evangelism in that general sense. All the rest of the time, the word love is used for us loving each other, for Jesus loving the Father, for the Father loving his people, and all the rest of it, when the proclamation of the call for evangelism goes out, it's repent. It's repent. Now, I can't just stand here and tell you, God, Jesus loves you so much. I just wanted you to know that. Now, what if you would walk by me and I would say, "Hey, Jesus loves you so much," and you'd go, "Oh man, that's cool.
Yeah.
Man, I'm a gay guy. All the Christians or the Bible says that's sin. This guy's telling me Jesus loves me no matter what. Man, I'm feeling good about myself." No, the plea that you need to hear is, God sent Christ into the world to love you so much, turn from your sin, repent and seek him. You see the difference? Kind of like the bridge is out, don't go there, or you're good, drive on. The love is the call, so repentance is always the call in the New Testament. And when you repent, I want to represent it rightly. We tell about the love of Christ coming. When you repent and you begin to seek God, you learn all about his love, how he's willing to wash you, cleanse you. Anything you've done, no matter what you've done, he'll wash you, cleanse you, he'll make you new. He'll lift you up. He'll put your feet on the solid ground. He'll guide your path. He'll make a way for you. He's a loving, graceful, merciful Father, but he's also wrath and justice and anger and fire. The book of Hebrews says he's a consuming fire. You don't want to be on the wrong side of a consuming fire.
No.
Yeah. So Jesus did it because he loved you enough, you and I enough to warn us. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I heard you mention, I think early on, about, I guess, the evil that is, like, you know, evolutionary theory.
Yeah.
Do you not think that possibly God may have installed, like, you know, an evolution beforehand?
No, because I believe a literal translation of the Bible, where we can take it literal, there's other places where it's allegorical. I get it. Jesus said they're swallowing camels and straining it, or swallowing gnats and straining a camel. Wait, I messed up. Jesus said they're swallowing gnats or straining at camels.
Straining at gnats.
Straining at gnats, yeah. I got to switch around. Straining at gnats and then swallowing down a camel. Thank you. That's an allegory, of course. Can you swallow a camel? No.
Probably not.
No. But now where we can take God's word literal is where it says in creation, 7 days. There was a day and there was a night. It's 24 hours. Jesus said there's 24 hours, there's 12 hours in a day, and there's 12 hours in a night. So I don't believe God used evolution. I believe he spoke everything into existence by his word. And good science, I talked to you about that water coming up out of the earth is good science. Good science would not teach evolution. Evolution is something called a theory. You know why it's called a theory?
Well, because it can't be tested completely.
Because there's a missing link and it's not scientifically verifiable. So see, I believe science is this, fact. Science is fact. If you can't prove it's a fact, and it's not really science, that's what they call pseudoscience, then it becomes, ready? A religion. I tell atheists all the time. They go, "Oh, you're religious, guys." I said, "You're religious." And they go, "No, I'm not." And I said, "Is there a God?" "No, oh, there ain't no God." There's your religion. Religion is a belief system.
Yeah.
So they're religious, and I don't believe that evolution works because you don't see it. There is no evolution taking place right now. And man did not evolve from monkeys. We're created in God's image. And everything in the Bible backs up exactly what God said. Let's take another thing, language. If you go back and you do a linguistic study, first of all, I'll ask you this question. You look like a smart guy. What's the oldest language in the world? Well, wait, first, let's go back to evolution. How old do most evolutionists say? How old do they say, like, man's been around? Just throw a number at me.
Like modern humans?
No. Just man in general. Like the latest species. I mean, it's so confusing. I'm not talking about, like, the first human, but, like, the closest one to, like, us. How far back does it go?
Closest one as in looked, essentially?
Yeah.
It's that is my area of study.
But, okay.
So you're talking about, like, looked basically like indistinguishable. If just, you know, you saw one in the wild, it would look like us,
yeah, right? I guess, yeah, which would, yeah, okay.
So anatomically modern humans is roughly around 250-300k.
Okay, thank you. So a quarter million years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so ready? How old's the oldest language known to man? Verifiable science, not pseudoscience.
Verifiable,
not, hey, we found some writings on a wall. We think they're 87,000 years old because we carbon dated them, and the carbon dating process is very faulty. They've had volcanoes blow up in Hawaii that they carbon dated. They said they were a million years old. Somebody else carbon dated them. They said, hey, that's a volcano that blew up 20 years ago. And they're like, oh. So how old's the oldest language known to man?
First, is it Sanskrit?
Very good.
Okay.
How old is it?
That is roughly
5,000 BC. It's about 5,000 years old.
Okay.
About as old as they talk about Egypt and the pyramids and all that. So Sanskrit, I think it's like an Indian language, and then you have the Egyptian languages. 5,000 years is the oldest known language to man. Now, you just told me that they say man's been around as a modern humanoid that we would recognize for a quarter million years. That tells me for 995,000 years, people didn't talk and they just went, you get my point. Then all of a sudden, they started talking languages. And here's what, if you know, maybe you know this, you study linguistics,
yes,
the study of languages. They said, they can't explain it, but for some reason, languages exploded like a bomb. That they don't see like an old language and then another one coming from it here. Another. They said the language is kind of just like, that's the Tower of Babel. Man spoke one language and was building the Tower of Babel. And right in the Genesis, you can go read about it. God said, look, whatever man decides to do, he's going to be able to do. We're going to stop this. And God confounded their languages and sent them, scattered them all over the earth. That's why the languages. And now I'm caught in a quandary in my not in my faith system, but in my number system. People say, are you a young earth guy? All right, so everybody wants me to go, well, the earth is only 6,000 years old. And I never say that, okay? But I am definitely not a multi-million and billion year guy. But I do know that man has not been around nearly as long as they say. The languages don't show it. The archaeology doesn't show it. Even the flood. You look at all the fossils that have been found. There's fossils up on mountains. There's fossils, all these layers, and they've all been mixed together. And the good science leads to a cataclysmic flood, just like Noah's flood that we talked about. So there's so much evidence in the language. There's so much evidence. Oh, here you go. Ready? The gene pool.
Mm-hmm.
It's very shallow. Most people say, scientists, if they're honest, they go, we came from like a couple people. Now, if evolution was true, it should be springing up all over the place. And all these different humanoids, I found this noid and this oid and this oid. I don't know the names of all of them. Lucy Lady and all the stuff they find, a lot of them turn out to be false. They're building a whole person from a couple of bone chips, right? So unless you got my email, unless you can email me and show me evidence that shows evolution is absolutely true and verifiable and provable, I believe the Bible is accurately historical, and they're finding more and more things. David, for years, everybody said, David, the history doesn't support David, King David. There's nothing in the archaeological find. They just dug up something way underneath the thing, talking about a King David. The more they find, the more the Bible is backed up. And I always encourage people, mockers, you're not a mocker, but I always encourage mockers when they come up to me and they talk, and I go, you know what? I said, you're a mocker. Do me a favor. You got my email, my phone number there. Go prove the Bible wrong. And if you could do that, you'll be richer than Elon Musk. You'll be more famous than Elon Musk. You will. Go do it. Go do it. I've been telling hundreds of men, go do that. Tell me I'm quit wasting my time in my life here. Go prove it wrong. Go prove Jesus isn't who he said he was. He's not Lord. He's a lunatic and a liar. Go prove that for me. And they go, ah. I said, you can't do it. So that's what I believe. I believe all the evidence is there for the scriptures that back it up. I think evolution, even Darwin, who started this. Have you read Darwin?
Yeah. On the origin of the species, yeah.
He started changing his mind. He said, you know, when I formed this, he used to think when he started it, like, it's like, see this little bottle I got? Like another bottle and another bottle. It is building blocks. When they started learning about the complexity of the DNA and all the structure, he was like, it just didn't work. It just doesn't work because you don't see animals changing. Every, ready? Here's one. Now, you studied this. Every mutation I know of dies. Every mutation I know of dies. Cancer is a mutation. It kills you. Third leg growing out of a guy's forehead. It never reproduces. It's not a good thing. He ends up, you know, these guys that grow, that are born, and one guy was like 8'11" or something.
Wadlow.
He had all kinds of health problems and he couldn't reproduce probably and it didn't. So mutations are never a good thing. Yet evolutionists tell us that everything came from mutation. The other thing that I throw out there too is like, I want to know, you know, they tell me I'm crazy for what I believe. I have this crazy idea that the Father's eternal and everything he created that we see and his word is what he says and I follow him. They go, you're crazy, believing the guy in the sky. I go, where'd everything come from? And they go, well, there was nothing and it blew up and made everything. And I go, you're telling me I'm crazy to believe in an eternal Father that's always been and everything came from nothing and it blew up. So that car could blow up and could instantly turn into a yacht.
That would be fantastic.
You know, I saw a great representation many years ago. A guy got on a stage, he took a watch, and he said, I'm gonna prove to you how phony and false evolution is. He said, they tell you you need millions. You know, when they started evolution, they said, some people say it happened so fast you can't see it. Sometimes they say that. Then they say it happened so slow you can't see it. They got all these different iterations. This guy, he said, I'm gonna prove to you how erroneous evolution and the idea that matter comes together without intelligence. That's what I'm going after, without intelligence. So he takes his watch off. He obviously had a junky watch. I don't think he uses his real watch. He takes his watch off and he drops in a canvas bag. He lays on a table and he takes a sledgehammer. Bam, 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 bam. He smashes it. Before he threw the watch in there, he goes, obviously, he goes, do we all believe that an intelligent creator made this watch? He said, there's like 300 pieces in here. You know, it was the old watches with all the, you ever see those things inside?
Yeah.
Gears?
Yeah. They're
who comes up with this
created
stuff? Yeah. And he goes, I'm going to prove to you evolution is wrong. He smashes it in a bag and then he stands there like this. He goes, now, we all had enough time. He goes, 1,000 years, 10,000 years, million years, billion years. Who thinks this is going to turn into a high-tech toaster? And basically what he says is he's showing the allegation that without an intelligent creator, everything you see has an intelligent creator, and without it, evolution doesn't work.
I actually have a good rebuttal for that. So, and also, I'm not trying to, like, you know, be a jerk or anything.
No.
Like, you know, I like this. I like talking to people, you know. And also, let me just say, from all the people, I love talking to people from different religions
uh-huh.
and people who think different things. I find it incredibly cool to see.
Yeah.
You know, I also like how you called out atheists, because I'm an agnostic, and I know, you know, it's sometimes one and the same, but a lot of people I know are hardcore atheists, and I'm like, you're still a little religious about being an atheist.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But for the watch thing, so...
Oh, can I go one thing on atheists?
I'll
never figure about atheists. They hate us so bad, and a lot of them want to stop us. I've had the worst mocker I ever had. Most of the time, people mock me for 20 minutes, and I can outlast them, because I'm a pretty bold guy. I'm pretty stubborn. I outlast them. I had an atheist guy and his couple follow me for 4 hours. Just, like, stand right there. He wasn't physically threatening or anything, and he was standing there, and he was saying stupid stuff. He was just being funny. He's like, he farts and it stinks. As people are walking by, you know, saying stuff like that. And he was just being a mocker. And for 4 hours, he followed me around. And I thought, I gotta see how long this guy's gonna do this. And you know, he stood for 4 hours and he finally came up to me. He goes, I'd stay longer. He goes, I gotta go to work. I gotta go. And he left. Here's my point. If God isn't real, why do they hate my proclamation of God so much?
They insist that they're right.
But why do they hate mine? I believe I'm right, but you don't see me like rabidly hating other people. I preach against them. I warn them. But they like hate. I mean, they want to shut you down. You got these, here you go. You got all these atheist groups. They're filing suits to get you take down this, take down that. If there's no God, what do they care? It's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think
it is. You know, it's two words for them. I like to say it's righteous indignation. You know, it's those people, a lot of the times they are so convicted because of their own beliefs, they don't see their own hypocrisy.
Yes, that's true.
The fact that it is a religion.
That's true.
But for the watch example, so that's actually a really interesting point because are you familiar with cultural evolution?
Cultural evolution.
So it's the fact that, you know, so a lot of people, there's a big misconception with evolution is that evolution has like an end goal. You know, in the theory, you might have heard that, you know, today we have something called a recency bias where everything today looks like, oh, this has been building for millions and millions and millions of years, and this is the culmination of all of that time. But evolution merely is just what satiates the moment, what really just what does it, what can fill a niche, and what can do it well. For the watch is actually really interesting because you can actually hearken to cultural evolution. So cultural evolution is that culture starts out as a certain way, mm-hmm. and it builds upon itself, and then as it diffuses through different groups of people, it can then diffuse out into different areas
right,
as well.
Yeah, changes, it morphs. Yep.
Exactly. So,
yep.
that culture in one area, let's say sub-Saharan Africa.
Yeah.
So then you have people radiating out of Africa into Europe. So
yeah.
now you're in a colder climate,
right.
you're in much denser forests
yep.
that are not jungles. That culture is now going to... Now, these people may be making the same things, like spears, but spears
right.
that are coming from Germany during the...
Yeah,
Paleolithic.
I get you. So cultural evolution. But you know what? The one thing I would refute on that, and that's where my example isn't flawless, because what I showed you was material.
Oh, yeah.
That was material. And what God created was not... Well, it is material, but it's organic. In other words, watch pieces are metal that can't morph into anything else. At least most people don't believe that. But they say organisms are going to morph into other things. But the point that I'm trying to make about that is that there has to be cultural, there's intelligence behind that cultural change, those cultural
yeah.
changes. There
yeah.
has to be intelligence behind the beginning of it. So when you talk about evolution, before we talk about evolution changing, before we talk about is there evolution, we have to talk about what was in the beginning. That's what I want to know about. What was in the beginning? If somebody believes in evolution and they don't believe in God, there's a lot of people, like, I don't know if you believe that, there's a lot of people said God used evolution. Okay, that's one angle. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. I don't see it. But other people say, no God, evolution. And then I go, before I'm going to argue evolution, where did it all come from? I can tell you where it started. Father told me where it started. He's eternal. He always was. He created the universe. He created the earth. He created man for his glory. That's my story. What's yours? And they go, well, there was nothing. And then there was an explosion that created everything.
Could that have been, though, have what God was talking about when there was nothing and then there became something?
Well, no, but it actually says in the beginning, go read Genesis. In the beginning, it was without light. And earth was form and void. And then it says he created light. And then it was good. And he created the first day and it was good. And he goes through his creation order. So it was God who fashioned it all. Okay, so there's all different kinds of evolution. You know, there's the godless evolution, and then there's melding God into evolution. And so I always like to go back to just the beginning, because God says, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. And most evolutionists just want to start with, well, we got everything, and look at how it can change. It's like, where'd it come from? That's what I want to know. Let's go to the beginning. I'm going to the beginning. I follow the Father. He's the Alpha, the Omega. I start at the beginning. God, my Father, who always was, that's the beginning. Evolutionists, what's your beginning? They don't want to go there because they don't have good answers. They really don't.
The way that
there's no good answer.
Well, I mean, for, you know, there
do,
is...
Do you believe... You're an agnostic, so you believe there could be a God, but you're not sure.
Yeah.
So when I tell you about evolution, does it make any sense to you with a logical thinking mind that there was nothing and the order you see all came out of nothing and no intelligence? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. I mean, to...
Did that thing fly apart together with no intelligence?
Well, no, because over time, we had Henry Ford make the Model T,
right.
which came from motorized wagons before
right.
that,
yep.
which came from carts.
Yep.
So it started...
So it was an intelligent man that created it.
Yeah, but it was
yeah.
over time.
Yeah, over
so,
time.
Yeah.
yeah. So God's creation has been thousands of years over time, but it started with his creation. And then when you look at the genetics, like we talked about, and you look at language, and you look at humankind, and you just look at all the evidence, evolution. The other thing is, what I find is interesting, you talked about cultures. Do you realize how new evolution is?
How new as like the theory of evolution?
Yeah. I mean, there was virtually, this is amazing to me. There was virtually there was virtually zero thought of no God going all the way back as you can. They always created gods and mega gods and a god. And if you were an atheist, in most cultures, you were a pariah, you were killed, you were considered doing witchcraft. Darwin 200 years ago is when it really started. And here's what I offer to you. Ready? Science. Science, which I'm not against science. I love good science. Good science proves the Bible. But all this pseudoscience, evolution is one of them. It became God for many people. And technology became a God. And what's interesting to me is, you know what's amazing? The Bible says that in the last days, in the book of Daniel, it says they'll be traveling to and fro. All right, a man in the last 100 years. My dad died about 10 years ago. He was 85. I remember him telling me stories. He's like, when, at end of his life, when he was kind of losing his mind, he was getting cloudy. He said, I can't believe what I've lived to see. He said, horse and buggies. My dad remembered horse and buggies. He was born in 1924. Wow. He said, to rocket ships and cell phones. I have lived to see that. He would sit there and tell me that. He died in my living room. We took care of him. He would always reminisce and tell me those things. And so we have increased in technology, and the Bible predicts in the last days that it will be a great increase in technology. So the talk of evolution and the talk of no God going back 400, 500, 1,000, 2,000 years wasn't even heard of. And here's the thing. People back then, you know, one thing you always get, people think today, oh, we got cars, we got computers, we got airplanes. We're so much smarter now than anybody's ever been. That's a bunch of malarkey. You go back to the Egyptians. Man, they had batteries. Okay? Yeah. They had all kinds of stuff. Look, they can't figure out how they built the pyramids.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people, they say, how did they build them, all this stuff. Here's my point, that ancient man was not dumb. They had tools, they knew how to make stuff.
Yeah.
And so the fact is today in our modern technology, we're actually stupider. You know why? Because in in the ancient days, okay, if there was a pandemic, it wiped out a whole region. Not a problem, because they weren't connected to everybody else, and everybody was independent, and nobody was traveling on an airplane. We are more vulnerable now as a human culture than we've ever been. With all the technology, we got nuclear bombs, we can wipe ourselves out. We got all kinds of germs we can make, like they did in China with the COVID virus and release it on people. I believe that's what they're doing. They're dabbling with it. They released it. My wife ended up years ago getting Lyme's disease. Study Lyme's disease.
Very familiar with Lyme disease.
You know where it came from?
Ticks.
Where did ticks come from? Or where did this disease get introduced? A little place called Plum Island.
Yeah. Well, it was Lyme, Connecticut, right?
That
was...
No, it's off the eastern coast somewhere. And when I heard about this, I'm like, okay, another conspiracy. Another conspiracy theory, right? And you know what's amazing?
I'd love to hear from you.
Many conspiracy theories come true. My dad was an old guy. He told me a story. He said, when I was a teenager, he said, I remember. My dad used to love to watch mafia movies, right? He was a big movie guy. He wasn't a Christian. Yeah, Godfather, all that stuff. He was like you. He was an agnostic. He didn't deny God, but he didn't really believe in God. He would tell me, you know what's funny? He goes, all these conspiracy theorists, he goes, when I was a kid, he goes, I'd walk down the porch and all the old men on the porches would be laughing. And he said, they'd say, they're talking about there's some Italian family over in Europe that's running drugs and running alcohol here. There's some mafia family. My dad said, all the old men back then used to laugh. And my dad said, I grew up and I came to see that the mafia families were exactly that. So my dad would always say, a lot of conspiracy theories come true. And it's true. They do. Now, some of them are wild and crazy.
Yeah.
Some of them come true. But my point is, when you put together all the information, and when you really go back to evolution, again, going back to the foundation, and you look at the creation, go back to the beginning, the Father told us how he created it in the beginning. And I think that's where I stand. And I've never seen any good evidence of evolution. It's always been changing. Here you go. I just did it in my teaching. Science books. They're always reprinting them. They're always changing. Because they were wrong. They added something. They came up with a new theory. The Bible hasn't changed. Now, there's different translations where people corrupt it. Mm-hmm. But if you go back to the Greek and the Hebrew, it hasn't changed. There's more. I don't know if you know this. There's 23,000 ancient manuscripts that back up the Bible. New Testament. 23,000. Do you know what's the next closest evidence of all the books of all human antiquity?
What would that be?
Homer's Iliad. I think it's like Greek poetry. 700. So I always tell people, if you can't believe the Bible by evidence, you can't believe nothing man ever wrote. And certainly science books today have no manuscripts backing up because it's new, and who knows if it's going to be true next year. They're going to come up with something else. And I always tell people this, Bigfoot, you know about the mythical creature Bigfoot. I don't know if you believe him or not. I always tell people I always tell people that I believe evolution is like Bigfoot, and also biblical churches are like Bigfoot. Everybody tells me they exist. Nobody can show me one. So I don't believe
in... I'd like to see a Bigfoot.
What's that?
I said I'd like to see a Bigfoot. If there's one out there, I would...
Yeah. So that's where I go with people, and where I really send people is I say, figure out who Jesus is. He said he was Lord, or he's a lunatic and a liar. And if you can, I tell Muslims that, and I tell everybody that, if you can figure out who he is and study and test his words and see the prophecies of the Bible, the Bible's written over thousands of years by 40 men, 66 books. Imagine if you took 40 men and put them in 40 different hotel rooms all across America and said, write some chapters of a book. And then you get them all together next year. They didn't communicate. And you put the book together. What would it look like?
Probably be something kind of biblical looking.
No, it would look like a mess. The Bible is congruent. No, because who knows what they'd be writing about?
But they might have been inspired.
Oh, no. How? Yeah, it can't be. They're not connected. But they're connected by God's Holy Spirit.
Biased towards the most popular book on the planet.
The what?
Biased towards the most popular book on the planet. A lot of similar themes to the Bible. They might, you know, be... Sorry, I don't know where I'm going with that.
The Bible is the most popular book, right? In all the world? Yeah. So what I'm saying is it was created by the Spirit of God, and it's congruent together over the ages, okay? Whereas if you took 40 people and separated them, it'd be a mess. It wouldn't make any sense. Who was God? He would be this. He would be that. The story of it. So the Bible is very consistent, very concise. There's no other book like it. The Bible says it's alive. It's a two-edged sword. And so I stand on it, and I'm going to continue to stand on it until somebody can prove it to me that's wrong. They're finding more and more evidence that it is right, and the world is headed. The prophecies of the Bible alone are proof that it's true. The world is headed exactly where the Bible said it would go thousands of years ago. It's headed right there. It's headed to a one world order. It's headed to a numbering system. You know, quick story. My son, how old are you?
23.
Okay, you're young. I thought you're young. My son he's like 35. When he was your age and I first became a Christian, I would tell him things and he'd laugh. And he'd say, oh, Dad, come on, the world's going to be controlled by one guy. And he'd laugh, and I'd go, yeah, that's what the Bible says. I believe it. Who rose up recently? Elon Musk. And my son, who's not a believer, my son was gone before I was ever, I used to drink and party with my son. He was gone before I was born again. My son now concedes, and he goes, you know what, Dad? He goes, I watch Elon Musk. He goes, how popular he is, how famous he is, how powerful he is. They're looking to Elon Musk to solve world hunger. They're looking to Elon Musk. He's putting satellites in the sky. They're looking to him for global networking. He said, I see how one guy could rise up and take power. And I said, it's exactly what the Bible says. And to my son, he was like, whoa, I can see it now. That's exactly. Adolf Hitler was that far. Adolf Hitler had rockets, and he had the beginning of computers. And he was, I think God probably did it. He was blinded by the capability of those things. And he didn't further those. And he was doing a bunch of stupid stuff over here. And he got defeated. But he was that close to becoming a global ruler.
I don't know.
Very close.
If he didn't do meth, I think that would have been
He was pretty messed up. And he was into the occult. And that whole, you know, most people don't know that. That whole culture. And again, I'm not picking out anyone's
German
shit.
Or...
The whole German culture. German culture. Not the German culture. His SS. His inner circle. There was a lot of homosexuality. A lot of occult and a homosexuality. And I'm not pointing out that sin, but what I'm saying is his that whole group, the SS, the Nazis, it was very occult. And I happen to believe, this is a whole other topic, I happen to believe that homosexuality, it's a sin like any other sin, lying, stealing, drunkenness. I don't single it out unless somebody asks me about it, but I bring it up here. I actually believe it's demonic in nature. I really do. It's a spiritual thing. I'm not saying there's like a spirit of homosexuality, no. But it's a spiritual, it's part of the deception of Satan. And going back to evolution, all the people that want to fend for homosexuality, if that ruled the earth, what's over? Done. Men don't have babies. Women don't have babies without men. It's over. So even the biology shows you that God's word is true, and it's right, and it's correct, and the prophecy shows us that. So that's what I stand on. I'd encourage you to study and seek who Christ is. I don't know what. Do you have a religious background or upbringing or anything?
My parents were Catholic.
Yeah.
But I was always just kind of more science, like, oriented, which, you know, is not to say that there is no God or anything like that.
Good science, like, good science backs up God's existence. I have no problem with it. There's a lot of bad pseudoscience going on. There's a lot of bad stuff. And so I have to weave, because people say to me, oh, you believe in science? I'm like, which science? You know, it's like saying, do you believe that information? I don't know. Is it a lie or is it true? Let's figure it out. So there is good science, like I was telling you about, and the Bible backs it up. It talks about the stars. It talks about the creation. And the thing that really helped me become a believer in Christ is when I look at God's Word and I see how supernatural it is, unlike any other book, and when I see how it predicted the future. Hundreds of prophecies that have come true and are coming true. And I just look at the world and it's a perfect fit. It's exactly what God's Word said it's going. And it's going to take, I love where it says that every eye will see him when he returns. That's another thing. You know, hundreds of years ago, people go, oh, every eye, how's that ever going to happen? Did you ever see one of these Amber Alerts go off? I was in a McDonald's the other day having coffee. The Amber Alert went off. What did everybody do?
They looked at their phones. Yeah.
And I thought to my wife, every eye's going to see. In India, they're practicing right now, scanning everyone's iris. Hmm. So I'm on the internet right now. There's going to come a day when I'm probably going to bail on the internet. And that's going to be when they tell you got to do your iris scan to get on. I'll probably say I'm done. Because it's just, and I won't be able to escape technology. I'm sure I'll become a victim of it someday when the Antichrist, if I'm alive when he reigns. But there's a certain amount of things I won't go to, but it's headed right in that direction. It's headed right where the Bible says it's headed. It's headed there, and that greatly encourages me because I believe Christ is the only hope, and the world is headed for cataclysmic war. Look at this. We haven't talked about this. The Bible says, watch the fig tree. You know who the fig tree in the Bible is?
Who?
Israel. Look at Israel. What's the hot spot of the world?
Israel.
Now, you could say, well, Russia right now in the war. Yeah. Russia in that war right now, that's key to the rest of it. The Bible says Israel's going to be come back as a nation. The Bible says she'll be born of a nation in one day. People thought that was crazy. How does a nation get born in one day? That's craziness. You know what happened in 1948?
Nation was created in one day.
The gavel was raised because of World War II and the Jews being slaughtered. They said, boom, we're giving her a nation again. One day. So the Bible is accurate there. The Bible says that Germany, Russia, China, Iran, they're all going to come against Israel in the last days. Look at what's forming. It's exactly what's forming. And what's amazing to me, I tell people this all over, America's not mentioned. Superpower America's not mentioned. That tells me that's a telling thing. One of two things. Well, not one of two things, one thing.
One thing.
She's gone. She's either destroyed completely or she becomes a third world country. Maybe EMP bomb takes out our electronics and 80% of the people die because they don't know how to survive. I don't know. That's what people say. But right. America's not in the picture. So all these people saying, oh, God's going to use America. He's got to save America and help the world. God don't need America. America's on the road to the wrath of God, not to the goodness of God. So, America's not in the picture. So it's bleak for America, and it's bleak for the world, and God's wrath and his judgment's coming. I'd encourage you to go to my website and look up any of those articles, and you got my email. I'd love to talk to you anytime, man. I really appreciate having that conversation.
Yeah, no problem. Have you been here long in LaGrange?
No.
Okay. No. I was going to ask for restaurant recommendations because I'm not here.
You were going to what? Where are you from?
I am from Atlanta, so.
What are you doing here?
For work. I am an archaeologist.
Oh,
so,
yeah. I love it.
So all the stuff that... I mean, there's tons of Native American stuff around here. We're actually excavating a village site right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're digging up stuff all the time that's verifying the Bible. All the time. They're just finding more and more stuff that is just verifying God's word is true. So I'd encourage you to look into that. And you don't know. God might change your profession.
I don't know. I'm pretty unfortunately dug in monetarily.
Well, but if God gets a hold of your heart and mind, though, I'm telling you. Because there's no hope and no future in anything else. I love you, man.
It's good to meet you.
Good talking to you.
Oh, sorry, what was your name again?
James. Everybody calls me Tupos because Tupos in the Greek means example. So I try to live to be an example. And my wife, her name is Debbie, but I call my wife's sister Amen because Amen means faithful. And you know why we took new names?
Why?
It had nothing to do with salvation, nothing like this. God didn't tell me to do it. In the Bible, in Revelation, it actually says that one day his faithful people are going to get a new name. He says he'll write your name on a white rock. So we said, hey, if we're going to get new names eventually, we'll take new names that are more meaningful right now. James and Debbie. Doesn't mean anything. We want to be faithful and we want to be a good example. So that's why to our brothers and sisters, that's what we're called. But to people of the world, we tell them our name, James, because it's like,
Yeah.
That kind of freaks him out. Oh, two posts, what are you, weird, some cult?
I like
and,
that.
And we don't belong to any group. We don't belong to any organization. We know saints scattered all over the world. We would be closest thing that you would think of is we would be like a home fellowship, except we're online because we travel full time. But like if we lived in this town and you were a brother, we'd meet in your home, we'd meet in the park, we'd get together, we'd break bread, we'd study the word, we can sing, we can pray, we go out and we evangelize, and as more people want to join, then we become the body of Christ. We don't need a building. We don't need to hire a guy.
Yeah.
This is all the structure of man. We just need to follow God's word.
Of course. Well, yeah. I appreciate your time.
Man. Good time.
Appreciate.
Love you in the Lord. Let me know if I can ever help you. Shoot me an email sometime.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
I guess I'm stuck.
So you're working here?
Yeah.
Oh, you were in LaGrange.
In LaGrange.
What do you do for archaeology in LaGrange, real quick, before the light changes?
So there is a lot of Native American history in LaGrange.
Yeah, yep, I've heard LaGrange that.